I love Pastor Carl and his wife. I love their hearts. I love the mission statement of this house to raise up soul winners for the kingdom. Come on, Jesus. And also, I just want to honor my mother-in-law and my mom and Christy's mom. She's like a mom to me. These three ladies are beautiful. I love you ladies so much. And honor all the mothers here. I just really felt like the Lord has something really special he wants to say to the moms this morning. And Christy's actually going to share a little bit of that at the end. We really felt like the Lord highlighted something and spoke to us. But a scripture the Lord gave me was, as a mother comforts her child, so I want to comfort you. You know, a mother's heart is very tender, and it goes through a lot of things. And I have a daughter right now. Well, I have four children. I have Landon, my son, Zachariah, and then I have two girls, 18 and 24. I always forget their ages. And I have two grandbabies. Woohoo! They're the best. but I have a daughter that's running from the Lord. She knows. And it's, I've went through some things that has broken my heart. And I know what it feels like to have a broken heart and need the Lord to comfort your heart. And so exactly what he is. He's such a comforter. And so I'm just going to share a little bit of my testimony and then share what I felt like the Lord put on my heart for this house. And so my son, he's just going to play behind us. And so let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much, Jesus, for your kingdom. We thank you so much for your kingdom, Lord. We thank you so much for your kingdom, Lord. You said on earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven, Lord, fill this room with your angels, God. Fill this room with your ministering spirits, Lord. Minister to the hearts of your children, Lord. Hide me behind your cross, Lord. Let your word be glorified. Let your face be seen, Jesus. Let your eyes be seen, God, to every heart in this house, Lord. Let your eyes be seen, Jesus. You're beautiful, Lord. You're beautiful. You are beautiful, Jesus. Put your beauty on display this morning, Lord. Set up a table in the presence of your children's enemies, God. It's your goodness. It's your goodness. It's your goodness that draws us to you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. You are worthy. You are holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're holy, Jesus. You're holy. So again, my name is Crystal Stu Miller. I was raised in a little town called Berkton. I don't know if there's any. Yeah, James. Oh, I guess James is with the children, right? Ah, come on. I love James. It's so cool. Me and James went to school together, and that's really how I got connected with the Slys. James had called me one day on the phone and was just talking to me about the Lord and everything the Lord did in his heart. And right before that, like, I called my best friend Christy and I said, man, I am burning for West Virginia. I don't know what God wants to do in West Virginia. And then James called me and he's like, hey, Crystal, you know, he started talking to me. He's like, I think you should come to prayer in West Virginia. So I got to meet these guys at a prayer back in West Virginia. The Lord's doing something there. But anyway, so I just want to share a little bit of my testimony. I got saved 14 years ago, radically saved. I was raised in a home that my mother was running from Jesus with everything she had in her and ran to alcohol, drugs, and everything you can imagine. My dad was a drug addict. He was an alcoholic. So being raised in a household like that, I was raised very hard and very broken. I can remember as a little girl going to a house in Harrisonburg and my mom, it was a drug house, and I would go, and my mom would go into, sorry, I always get emotional when I share my testimony. Tears are good, right? I've cried since I've gotten saved, so I'm just a crier, okay? If that makes you uncomfortable, I'm sorry. So, you know, as a little girl going to this house, I would watch my mom go into a room. I would bang on the door and scream and cry and see her sniffing crank up her nose and watching my dad do drugs and people sitting in front of me blowing marijuana smoke in my face saying, don't you ever do this when you grow up, you know. And so that's how I was raised, and I hated it. I hated drugs. I hated alcohol, but it didn't matter how much I hated those things that were destroying my family. That generational curse followed me. And so at the age of 12, I probably smoked my first cigarette, lost my virginity, and began just living that crazy wild life. Got pregnant at 15 years old, had my daughter the day, I had her the day before I turned 16, and so, you know, I really don't know life without kids, but that's okay. And so raising a daughter like that, it was just very hard. And me and her dad fought a lot. He was a drug addict at that time. And so, you know, I know what it's like when meth runs out and you're getting smacked around. I know what it's like to live in that type of atmosphere and to be under that oppression and demonic spirit. And then I met my husband, Jason. When I was 20 years old, I was a barber, and I was cutting his hair and met him at a party one night, and he came up and gave me a big old kiss. And everything changed from that point on, right? But with me being crazy as it was and then getting put into a college lifestyle, trying to raise a daughter, that was really not good. I mean, we would drink every night of the week, and I was drank like a man, and I wanted to fight like a man when I got drunk. I was angry drunk, and so I was trying to fight. I hated girls, and I would fight everybody that tried to come around, and me and Jason would fight like two men, and so I was just, I hated men. I hated what they had done to me. I hated everything about it, because even though I had a dad in the house, he wanted me to be hard, and so he never told me he loved me. He didn't show his affection at all, hardly. And so I had such a hard heart towards men, said I would never get married, you know, and all this stuff. And then I got pregnant with my son, Landon. I was working at a barbershop. It was called Westside Barbershop at that point. And there was three gentlemen that were coming in and getting their hair cut, and they all went to the same church. There was a church above the barbershop called the Potter's House. And they would invite me to their church, and I'd be like, you just need to shut up. Like, I am sick of hearing this. And it wasn't like they three all ganged up and said, hey, let's go in and just get Crystal, you know? It was the Holy Spirit chasing after me. And they continued to come in and tell me about the Lord, and I'd be like, you just need to leave me alone. When I get my stuff straight, I will come to your church. Until then, don't talk to me about your church. And one of the gentlemen come in, and he said, you know, I was telling him all this stuff, and he said, Crystal, he said, if you continue to do this, you'll never do it yourself. You know, you'll never get this right. And so I went on about my life drinking and stuff, but it was like those words would haunt me. I would lay in bed at night and hear, you'll never get this right. You'll never do this yourself. And my mom would go up to get my daughter from a daycare that was above the church. She would come back to the barbershop and be like, Crystal, I don't know what it is about that church, but something is pulling me in there. I'm like, all right, I'll go to this darn church. I'm so sick of hearing about this church. But at that, right before that happened, I had a gentleman come in and invite me to go to a crusade at Expo Land. And so I called Jason and asked him to take me, and we ended up going that night. And, you know, the atmosphere was so intense in the car, I'll never forget it. We were smoking cigarettes all the way up the road, you know, like, and not talking to one another, because he didn't want to go to no church, no crusade, anything. And when I walked in, the power, I didn't know it was the power of God. Because I'd only been in very religious churches where men sat on one side and women sat on the other. But when I walked into that crusade, and they were up worshiping about the blood of Jesus, I didn't even understand what they were saying. I didn't know Jesus had died for my sins. I knew he hung on a cross. I knew he had been beaten, but I didn't know it was for me. And I didn't understand that blood. But when I walked in there and they were singing about the blood, I could feel something. I could feel something in the atmosphere. And what was so crazy is the evangelist that had invited me there that night called me on the phone before I'd went. And he said, you know what, Crystal, you probably don't want to go tonight. It's going to be crazy. He's going to be preaching on deliverance. People might be throwing up. You know, it's probably going to be really radical. You probably want to stay home. I'm like, heck no. I want to be there. Like, I was drawn, if you know, let's do something. At least, I used to tell my mom, let's go to Pentecostal church. At least they act like they like being there, right? You know, like they're running around the church. At least there's something going on. So anyway, you know, when I walked in and all that was going on, the evangelist began to speak about the power of God and what God had done for him. And I knew, like, if the Lord could change that man, he was Exhale's angel. If the Lord could change that man, if the Lord could get a hold of that man's life sitting inside of a jail cell, I knew the Lord could do something for me. And I knew immediately, I had never been faced with a heaven or hell question ever at that point. But I knew immediately inside of my heart, I was going to hell. I knew that that was where I was headed. And when he gave the altar call, there was, I don't remember sitting there thinking, I need to go forward. There was something literally that stuck me in my stomach and pulled me up front. It pulled me. And when I went up front and I began to pray, everything drowned out. I couldn't hear what he was saying. I couldn't hear anything around me in the presence of the Lord. It was fire. Fire came down to my head and it touched my head and it went all the way through my body. And I knew I was delivered. I knew I was delivered of alcohol. I knew I was delivered of everything that was holding me bound. And when I opened my eyes and looked up, I looked at this man like, who are you? Like everything had changed. Everything had changed. I went back and I sat down in my seat and I was weeping and crying. And I said, why didn't I ask them to pray for me for drinking and smoking and my lifestyle? And this lady come up to me and she said, honey, you want more prayer, don't you? And I'm like, holy cow, how does she know I wanted more prayer? She takes me over to this group of pastors and it just happens to be a Potter's House pastor. She puts me in front of them and I'm weeping so hard I can't even talk. And he said, you don't want to drink anymore, do you? You don't want to smoke anymore, do you? And he began to minister to me. And he said, from this point on, every time you go to take a drink, every time you go to smoke a cigarette, every time you go to do anything, remember, you're taking it into Jesus now. Because Jesus now lives inside of you. And I'm like, whoa, this is a whole different story than just sitting in church, right? It's a whole different thing. And so I was just radically, instantly saved and changed. And Jason was not. He got angry. He wanted to go back and fight the evangelist because I immediately knew, hey, we had been living together. You know, we had a child together. This ain't working no more. And I go home and my son's grandparents were babysitting him and I run in the house and I'm like, I got saved. I got saved tonight. You know, I mean, like I was just completely changed. I go back to the barbershop the next day and I run inside and I'm like, all of you guys are going to hell and you don't even know it. You got to get right with Jesus, right? I was like a bull in a china shop. I mean, Jason says, Crystal, you're like shoving a Christmas tree down their throat. You know, I mean, that's how it was. I was full of zeal. I didn't have much love. I was full of fire. But I mean, it just set us on our whole family on a path of change. And from that point on, my husband's parents, they were going to a church, but they began to come to church with us and their lives just has been dramatically changed. My mom, I call my mom on the phone. I said, Mom, do you know Jesus? Crystal, I was raised in church. What do you mean? Do I know Jesus? You know, I'm like, no, do you know him? Do you know him? It's not about church. Do you know him? And so it's just been this journey, and I knew instantly my daddy needed Jesus. I knew he was going to hell. I knew that if something didn't change, he wasn't going to make it. And what's crazy, that was a Thursday night. That Friday morning, he had woken up, and he said a gray fog dropped down in his room, and he heard a small voice saying, just go get the gun. Just go get the gun. Today's the day. Just take your life. Nobody cares. They'll all be better off without you. Just go get the gun. So he did. He got the gun and he went in the building and he sat out in his building with a gun in his mouth. And he kept hearing that voice, but then he heard this other small voice say, there's a Bible in the trash can you threw away the other day. He was cleaning his vehicle out and threw one of the little pocket Bibles away. So he got up, he took the gun out of his mouth, and he got up and he went over and got that Bible, and he opened the Bible. He didn't even open it to a page. He just opened the front cover, and it said John 3:16. And it had the salvation prayer there. And he said, you know what, I'm going to pray this prayer. And so he prayed that prayer that day. Everything didn't instantly change that day. But he came to church a couple weeks later. Me and Mama started praying like crazy. I mean, we were anointing tissues and sticking them under his bed and praying over his pillow and putting oil everywhere. And I mean, I didn't know what any of this was, but I knew it worked for me. And so we did that. And it was a couple weeks later, we were standing in church and we were on the back row and we were sitting there worshiping. And the next thing we know, we look over and there's Dad. My gosh, my dad came to church. And I mean, at that point, the pastor just stopped the service. He just stopped worship and he said, there's somebody in here that's going straight to hell right now. You've got to give your life to Jesus. And my dad, he said he knew he had to. He felt fire in his belly. So we went up front and the same very thing happened to him. the presence of the Lord came down over him, and he was completely delivered from drug addiction, alcohol addiction, the spirit of suicide. He was instantly turned around and set free. Come on, church. I mean, instantly. Instantly. It wasn't a 7-day program. It wasn't this program. I'm still an alcoholic. I'll forever be an alcoholic. I mean, I get all that, right? God uses that, but I'm not forever an alcoholic. My dad's not forever an alcoholic. We're set free by the blood of Jesus, by the Lamb. And it just has radically changed our whole family. And one of the things I really felt like the Lord wanted to ingrain inside of each one of your hearts here is it just takes one. It just takes one. One that'll go after Jesus with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind. He'll change a whole generation, generation after generation after generation. It follows. And he's after the family. He's after the family unit. He is after the family. And so from that point on, everything began to change. And after everything had changed, there was times that I screwed up really bad. I did things, you know, the enemy comes immediately to try to steal, kill, and destroy. And there were things that happened. Me and Jason ended up getting married, and the enemy tried to steal our marriage. And through that, I met the love of Jesus. See, when I first met him, I met his zeal and his fire for my soul to set me free. But when I met him as the lover of my soul, it changed everything. It changed everything. It set me free from the inside. It took this hard heart and it began to mold it and shape it. You know, those outside things, my drinking, my smoking, my cussing, my sexual life, all that stuff, that's all byproduct of what's going on inside the heart. And he's after the heart. He's after for you to just know him, to know his goodness, to know his glory, to know him as a father, to know him as a husband, to know him as a mother, to know him as a friend. He just wants to know you. I really felt like the Lord wanted to speak to you guys through the book of Joshua. And I wrestled this thing out before the Lord. And I'm like, Lord, there's 24 chapters in the book of Joshua. And I'm like, all right, Lord, you're going to have to talk to me. You have to tell me what you're saying. And so he did. He highlighted two things to me in the book of Joshua. So I don't know if you guys have your Bibles, but in Joshua 3:3-4, it says, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, so the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament represents the presence of Jesus, the presence of God. It says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priest and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from this place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you, between you and it, about 1,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. Here's the point. For you have not passed this way before. You know, as Pastor was saying, things are changing. Things are changing in the body of Christ. Things are radically changed. You know, we've come out of the craziest year, right? I mean, we've all felt the effects of COVID. We've all felt the effects of what's going on in our society. But the Lord's saying, you haven't passed this way before. You're crossing over. You're crossing over. You're crossing over some things. If you look up the word crossover in the Strong's, I mean, it simply is that. You're going over. You're going beyond. You're getting over things. You're getting through things. And this church and the church all over the world, the body of Christ, has been called in this season to cross over. This is a new season for the body of Christ. It's time for us to shake off previous things. It's time for us to shake off the past, shake off the ways we've done church. Come on. Shake off the ways we've thought about evangelism. Shake off the ways, everything. The Lord is wanting to give us new mindsets about the kingdom. He's wanting us to come up and know him in a deep, deep way. You think about what the church is called to cross over in this season. The spirit of division. Spirit of division. I mean, the Lord almost displayed our enemies in this season, right? I mean, he's showing us what we're up against. The church is called to be the answer to unity. We're called to be an answer to his cry, his prayer in John 17. He says, Father, make us as one as you and I are one. You know, even in that, we can't show the world that unless we get that. And one of the things I love to do whenever I enter my secret place with the Lord and begin to talk to him, see, in the book of Revelations, he says he's got eyes of fire. He's got hair that's white like wool. He's got a voice as the sound of many waters. And so I'll take that scripture and I'll just sit with it and I'll eat on it and I'll eat on it and I'll eat on it. Lord, I want to see your eyes. I want to see your eyes. I want to see your eyes of fire. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice, the sound of many waters. I want to see your hair that's white like wool, Lord. I just want to know you. And as you begin to do that and you begin to sit with him, you become one. You become one. He now lives inside of you. And so he wants you to be the answer to his cry, the answer to his prayer. Another thing the Lord is wanting to deal with in this hour is the Saul leadership that's in the body of Christ, the top-heavy leadership where it's all about one man. One man leads the show, one woman leads the show, you know, however it is in the body. The Lord is saying, no, I'm looking for hearts like David, hearts that are after my heart, hearts that are only after my heart. It's not about a man. The Lord is wanting his platform back. The Lord is wanting his place to rule and reign, and all we do is follow the ark. All we do is follow the presence. Another thing the Lord has been speaking to me for quite some time as I cry out for John 17 is it's only teamwork that'll make the dream work. It's only teamwork that'll make this dream work. So who are we in the body of Christ? You know, you think about, I've seen some ugly stuff in church. You know, if we let church be Jesus, you're going to be offended and you're going to quit and you're going to stop. Because people are going to hurt you. People are going to offend you. People are jacked up, right? Jesus is the only one that's not. But we have to get to know each other. We have to love each other the way he loves us. And I didn't understand this thing. You know, a couple years ago, Jason come to me and he's like, Crystal, who are you discipling? Who are you discipling? Who's discipling you? And I'm like, Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit's discipling me? Heidi Baker's discipling me, Lou Engel, you know, not my pastors were, but I mean, I eat it every day, right? Every day I want it. I want to be in his presence. I want to know him more. But I wasn't discipling anybody, and I didn't have a close relationship with anybody. And so I began to really, like, you know, take this before the Lord. Lord, show me, because he says, go therefore and make disciples. Teach what I've taught you. Disciple them in my name. Baptize them in my name. And so as I began to cry out to the Lord about this, the Lord just began to surround me with a beautiful family and knitted us together like only Jesus can do. And then he began to surround me with other ladies that I get to tell him about who he is and what he can do for them and how he can overcome. It's the teamwork that makes the dream work. See, Saul was after man's praise. And I really feel like the Lord's asking, what are we focused on in this hour? Are we focused on man? Or are we focused on Jesus? Because even discipleship can kind of go sideways, right? Everything's got attention. Everything's got to be put in place, right? In discipleship, we can get so focused on people and what they're going through that it becomes a distraction. And Jesus is saying, if you'll focus on me and you'll put me first and you'll let me be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and you'll get to know me, this thing won't be heavy. This thing will go the right way. And you bring them to them and not yourself, right? There's been so many times I've brought people to myself trying to bring them to Jesus, but they just meet Crystal. I do nothing for them. They need to meet Jesus. They need to meet Jesus through us. And that's just being real. It's just being real with people. You know, we go out on the streets. Before COVID hit, we were out on the streets a lot. And the way the Lord began to show me is me and another friend just started riding around our city praying. And it was like, okay, Lord, something else. You're saying something else has got to happen, not just prayer, right? We can pray and pray and pray and pray, but we got to move, right? Pray, move, pray, move. And so we began to be like, Lord, what are you saying? And I just felt like the Lord said, bake bread. Bake bread and just give it to people. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. But I was obedient. And so we began to make homemade bread. And I would just pull the car over alongside of the road. Anybody that was walking by, I'd jump out and be like, can I give you some bread? And they'd look at me like, you're crazy, lady. And I'd be like, Jesus is the bread of life. And I would just minister to them and be like, how can I pray for you today? You know, I wasn't there telling them they need to get right. I was there to give them the bread. Once the bread goes in, it does everything it needs to do, right? It's the kingdom. And so from that place, the Lord began to just, there. So at Rose's parking lot, there's a wall where all the homeless people sit, all the winos, you know, all the drug addicts, they sit there. And the Lord had already been talking to me for many years about the book of Nehemiah and about the wall. And when I began to see all these guys sitting on this wall, the Lord began to break my heart for these guys. And so me and my mom and another little lady from church, we went out, and my mother-in-law, we went out, and we would just set this table up in the Rose's parking lot, and we would make sausage and egg sandwiches. We brought a tailgating grill. I mean, you know, it wasn't hard, and we would just set this food up, and they would come. You know, they'd just come from everywhere, and we would feed them, and we'd just be like, how can we pray for you today? You know, if the Lord opened the door for us to really speak into some stuff, we did it. But mainly, it was just praying over them, wasn't it, guys? It was just loving on them. How can we meet a need? How can we show you Jesus today? And there was this, it was crazy where the Lord positioned us, because the people would have to walk by us to get to the ABC store, right? And so there was this older gentleman that would walk by the table every morning to go to the ABC store, and I would go up to him and offer him food, and he'd just cuss me out. You know, I want none of your blankety blank food. I'm like, okay, you know, and I asked him what his name was. His name was Larry. Sorry, I cry about Larry. And I said, well, Larry, you know, I just want to give you food. My name's Crystal. We're here to pray for you, anything. I don't need any of your beep beep prayers. I don't need anything from you. He's like, you know what I'm going to do? He had his black bag, you know. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and drink this liquor. I might just drink it right here. I said, well, Larry, you can drink it right here with me if you want to. I don't care, you know. It's you. It's not me. So I just kept on. Like, every time Larry would walk by, I would go up and say the same thing to Larry, and I would love on him. And one day I said, Larry, I said, is there something that we could get you? He had a house, but I mean, it basically wasn't a house. Larry, is there something we can get you? And he'd be like, you would do something for me? Absolutely. He said, I need a sleeping bag. I said, okay, we'll be here next Friday with a sleeping bag. Well, next Friday I got there, and he's already sitting on the wall waiting on me. And he comes over and he's like, you remembered. And I gave him the sleeping bag. And he was taller. When I looked up at him, he had tears coming down his face. I said, Larry, can I pray with you today? He said, yes, you can. I said, what do you want me to pray for, Larry? He said, pray y'all don't give up on us and you never stop coming back. See, so many people have given up on them. So many people give up on the broken. I don't know why they didn't give up on me. You know, they kept pursuing me and pursuing me. They didn't quit. So I know I can't quit, right? We got to keep pursuing. We got to keep loving. So I prayed for Larry that day. And then I would go to his house. I mean, it was a really bad house. And I would sit on the porch with Larry. I'd be like, Larry, man, I don't know why, but I just love you. I just love you. He'd be like, you're weird, Crystal. I'd be like, no, you remind me of my dad, Larry. I just love you. And I would always say, Larry, all you got to do is say his name. All you got to do is say his name. If you find yourself in your bedroom on the floor, just say his name. Just say Jesus. You know, the Lord would never be like Crystal, tell him that he's got to repent of his sins. Tell him he's got to, you know, ask the Lamb to come into his life. He's got to do this. It was never that. Just tell him to say my name. Just tell him to say my name. And so that's all I did. I would love on him and tell him, just say his name. Well, about, I guess that went on for about a year. And I was laying in my bed one night praying, and Larry came to my mind. So I just started praying for him. And in my mind, I saw Larry I saw him laying on his bed. I thought I was making this up. In my mind, I saw him laying on his bed. I saw him taking his last breath. And I saw my face in front of Larry's face. And I saw him saying, I saw myself saying, Larry, just say Jesus. Just say Jesus, Larry. Just say Jesus. Just cry out to Jesus. I thought I was making it all up. I prayed, Lord, save him. Save his soul, Lord, save him. So then we go back up to Rose's. I think it was like a week or two later, and I really wasn't thinking about it. And, you know, we'd sat there and served our food that day, and Larry never came by. And so I started asking people, where's Larry? And they said, well, Chris, last Friday night, they found him dead on his bed. He died. I really think I'll see Larry in heaven. I really think I'll see Larry in heaven, because all he had to do was call on Jesus. Just like that thief on the cross, all he had to do was say, Jesus, come. I think Jesus used my face and everything that we had been telling him for a year to just cry out to Jesus. A year later, I was reading a book about supernatural things that had happened where people had saw heaven. And there was a testimony in this book of this pastor that before he got saved, he was running from the Lord. His mama was a Christian. She had preached to him and preached to him all of his life. And he had traveled the whole world and, you know, experienced, tried to find all these other gods the world offers. And he was in the ocean in Australia, and he got stung by a fish, a shark that they call a sea wasp or something like that. It's one of the most deadliest stings. You should die in 20 seconds. He got stung 3 times. And he said, as everything was going black, he had his mama's face in front of him saying, just say Jesus, just say Jesus, just say Jesus. And the Lord saved his life in that ocean and brought him back to life. And now he's a crazy preacher over in Australia. But the Lord used that story to show me that that's exactly what happened to Larry. You know, Larry didn't have people in his life, but he had us in his life saying, just say Jesus. And so you never know who you're standing in front of. You never know who you're not supposed to give up on. We don't need to be all preachy. We don't need to tell them to get it right. They know they're lost. They know that things are mess. You need to tell them the way. You know, it's like if you went to a doctor and all that doctor sat there and said, yep, you're dying. You got cancer. You're dying. All I can tell you is there's sickness in there. What if that's all that doctor did? Is focus on the sickness. You want a healing God, right? You want something that's going to heal you and transform you and bring you back to life again. And that's exactly what Jesus wants to do in our lives. So I really felt like the Lord wanted us to know that we've got to minister to his heart. And it's from ministering to his heart that people will get saved. You know, I'd heard a testimony of, I don't know if I'm running out of time. I'd heard a testimony of this homeless gentleman. There's a tent in Washington, D.C. It's called the David's Tent. It's been going for, I think, like 5 years now. Nonstop, thank you so much. Nonstop worship and prayer. That's all they do. They've been doing it for 5 years. They just minister to the Lord. I mean, there are people that come in, and there's teams that go out and evangelize and love on people, but they're not preaching the gospel. They're put there just to minister to the Lord and cover our nation. And there's homeless people that wander into the tent, you know, on cold nights, and they just sit there. Well, there was this one homeless gentleman that come in. He'd sat in that tent for 3 or 4 hours as they were just worshiping and praying. Nobody preached to him. Nobody said anything. But Pastor Jason that runs David's Tent said the next thing he knows, this guy began to manifest. And demons began to come out of this man. And this man began to throw up. And everything began to change. And this man got up and he was a brand new person. Just from sitting under the presence of the Lord. Just from sitting in this place of worship and prayer. This place of adoration unto the King. See, it creates abiding. It creates a place of presence. And when you step into that presence, everything changes. In 2 Chronicles 29:11, it says, my sons, do not neglect your duties any longer. The Lord has chosen you to stand in his presence, to minister to him, to lead his people to worship, to present an offering to who he is. If you read in Acts 3:2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost came and he separated them, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. See, it was in that place of ministering to the Lord that the Holy Spirit came. It was in that place. You know, we think of Acts and we think, Lord, how are we ever going to get in one accord? Right? It feels almost hopeless sometimes if you look at how things are so messed up. But the Lord just says, just draw unto me. If two or three will just come and sit in my presence, I'll begin to create an atmosphere that will draw all men unto me. When you read Luke 7 about the sinful woman that was forgiven, she was ministering to the Lord. When she poured her oil out on the feet of Jesus, and she wiped his feet with her hair, she was ministering to the heart of Jesus. And it was so powerful that Jesus said, you know, the disciples or whatever is like, why is she doing this? Do you not know what this woman is? And I love it in Luke, because he responds back to Peter. He says, oh, Peter, don't you know? Don't you know? Like, you can feel the heart of the Lord crying out to his disciple. Don't you know what she's doing, old Peter? Like, I'm not concerned about your religious obligations. Don't you know what she's doing? She's pouring her heart out on me. That's the only thing I'm looking for. And it was so powerful that he said that she'll be known over the world, over the nations, right? Everyone that speaks about my gospel will preach about what this woman did. This sinful woman that said, I met a man that knew everything about me, right? I met a man that knew everything about me. We are called to minister to his heart. What you behold is what you become. What you behold is what you become. You know, before I knew the Lord, I beheld a lot of things. I beheld a lot of anger and hatred in my heart. And that's exactly what flowed out of me. If you look at the world today, they're not eating from the table of the Lord. They're eating from the wrong table. Even people in church that are bound in politics and everything else, you can tell what table they're eating from, right? But if you eat from the table of the Lord, the goodness of God will flow from your heart. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, the peace, the patience, the love, the joy. That's what the world doesn't have. They don't have the true joy of the Lord and the patience. I really feel like the Lord is wanting to do something so deep in this house. He's wanting to refresh you guys. He's wanting to show you his heart in such a deeper way. And he's calling the body of Christ, and he's calling this church to cross over. It's time to cross over. Cross over from our little tiny prayer meetings. Our little, oh, Jesus, you see me today, I love you, have a good day, right? Come on. It's time to get real. It's time to be open. It's time to turn your face as flint. It's time to rend your garments, rend your hearts and not your garments. He is wanting to sanctify. He's wanting to change us from the inside out. And it's not putting on a brand new shirt and a new clothes and, you know, not drinking, not smoking, not doing this, not doing that. It's about your heart. He's saying, come unto me and rend your heart. This is a Joel 2 call that God's calling to the body of Christ to wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. I guarantee that each one of us have a lost family member or someone we love sitting in our home that does not know Jesus. They don't need our preaching. They don't need our teaching. They don't even need our church services. They need Jesus. They need to see Jesus in your eyes. They need to feel him when you walk in the room. They need to know him. They need to know that there's a way other than themselves and that there's hope. There's hope inside of him. So I'm going to let Christy come up, and she's going to share what she felt like the Lord was wanting to share with the women's heart. I'm just going to pray. Father, I thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much for your heart. Thank you so much for your love and your passion. I thank you that you never quit pursuing us, Jesus. And you're always saying, those who seek me will find me. Those who seek me will find me. If you'll seek for me with your whole heart, if you'll just seek with your whole heart, you'll find him. You'll find him. You'll find him. When you find him, you'll sell everything. When you find him, you'll let everything go. When you find him, none of the other stuff matters. When you find him, When you find him, you just want him. You won't be tossed around from the waves. You'll stay steady when you find him. You know, I've met so many people through Teen Challenge that have been delivered from drugs and addiction. And then they go through trials when they get out and they turn back. And my heart just breaks because I know how that is. I know through the trials and tribulations that I've walked through, it was really hard. And the Lord didn't allow people to minister to me through those trials and tribulations. He ministered to me. But it took people around me praying for me. It took people around me encouraging me and holding my hands up, saying, Crystal, you can do this. There's a better way you can do this. Get back up, girl. So I'm just saying to you guys, get back up. It's time to fight again. It's time to believe again. It's time to be full of awe and wonder of who he is and what he wants to do in your personal life and through you. He wants you to behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb. If you'll just behold him, he changes everything. Here you go. Man, his heart is so heavy in this room right now. It's just like Crystal said, what we behold, we become. And I do. I just feel like the Lord's wanting to do a deep work inside of us. And I really felt like when Crystal had asked me, actually the Lord told me before Crystal asked me that she was going to be asking me to share. So the Lord already had told me what to share with you guys. But I just feel like there's a deep work of identity that he's wanting to do, not just for the women, for the men too. Back in 2014, I was on staff at Grace Covenant Church. And one day while I was at work, I went to the sanctuary because I just really felt like I needed to just go sit and be with the Lord. So I went in the sanctuary and I was just sitting in his presence. And all of a sudden I had an open vision. I never had an open vision before. And all of a sudden I found myself in the Garden of Heaven. It was this beautiful flower garden, and it was me and Jesus, and he was standing in front of me, and he was like a giddy little schoolboy, and he had his hands behind his had one hand behind his back, and his other hand was like, come here, come here, come here, and he was so excited, and he said, come here, Christy, I want to show you what flower you are in my garden, and I automatically just put one hand out and turned my head. And he's like, no, come here. I want to show you. I want to show you. And I put my hand out and I turned my head because I had a belief system inside that he was just going to show me like a dandelion or something that just didn't, in my mind, measure up to what I really wanted him to see me as. And so after I put my hand up the second time, the vision just stopped. And for 4 years, I was like, okay, God, he was starting to do a really deep work inside of me. And for 4 years, I say, okay, I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready. Even if it's a dandelion, Lord, you say dandelions are beautiful. I think I'm ready. And so around the 4-year mark, I was at an inner healing service on a Saturday. And all of a sudden, they were just saying, you know, the Lord's really wanted to reveal some things to people. He's been doing a deep work. And so I'm just sitting there. And all of a sudden, I had my eyes closed. And all of a sudden, I started to see the stem of the flower. But as soon as it got to the bloom, it was like kind of like a fuzz over top of it. So I couldn't see clearly what the flower was, and it stopped. And I remember just thinking, Jesus, what? Like, I thought I was ready. What's holding it? Why can't I see clearly how you see me? And so the following day at church, one of the women pastors on staff had given just this powerful sermon. And she was just talking about identity, and she was talking about comparison. She was talking about how we have built cases in our hearts against God and against others. And so I just felt the Lord doing so much work in me that morning. And so I went up for prayer, and everybody was just like, you know, full up front. And all of a sudden my friend came over to me. She's like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, but I just really feel like I need to go up for prayer. And she pointed across the room to a lady I'd never met before, even though I was on staff there. And so she's like, you need to go to her. And so I go over and I'm, you know, praying with her and telling her what was going on inside of me. And so she's just like breaking things off and just praying with me. And I felt the Lord just doing a really deep work inside of me. And the next thing she looks at me.
She says, the Lord says you're a white rose. And I lost it. I just started bawling because white roses are my favorite flower in the whole entire world. He put that desire in my heart. And so many times we believe that he has less than, and that we don't see clearly how he sees us. And he's wanting to come in, and he's wanting to rightfully show you who he says you are, how he sees you, so that you can rightfully show others and love others. He's wanting to do that deep work. He's wanting to break those lies. He's wanting to break the cases that we've made in our heart against Jesus, not believing that he's good enough, not believing that he's going to say who he says he is, not believing, thinking that he's going to give us less when his heart is to give us everything. We are his sons and his daughters. His heart is so full to give us all that is his. And so I just pray this morning, Lord, I just pray, Jesus, if there's any place in any of our hearts, God, where there is a blockage, Jesus, from receiving who you say we are, Jesus, so that we can fully be you to others and fully be that love, God, that you would come in right now, Jesus, and that you would rightfully show, Jesus, how you see us, God. Because what we behold, we become. And we want to see you rightful. We want to see how you see us, Jesus. So God, right now, I even ask, Jesus, that you would just show each of us, Jesus, how you see us, how you delight over us, how you are just waiting. You are so eager for us just to turn and look at your face. So we just thank you, God. We honor you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. And so we brought some white roses, and I also bought yellow roses because my husband had had a dream a couple months back. It was a really profound dream, but he was in this garden, and it was a brick wall around it, and there was this white horse, and every time a whistle, the sound of a whistle would go off, a person would come into the gate and come into the kingdom, and this white horse would run up with a yellow rose in its mouth, and it would give this yellow rose to each person that came into the kingdom. And so we just felt like, it was crazy. I was at Costco to get the roses, and it was only red and pink, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, I wanted white and yellow. Like, I really wanted white and yellow. So I'm putting the prettiest pink ones in the cart, and I'm just kind of fussing, and I turn around, and in the tower there were two bags, a white and a yellow, hidden in the corner, and I'm like, come on, Jesus, you know. I mean, he cares about every little thing, right? Who, you would think, like, why does he care about a white and a yellow rose? But he does. He cares that each one of you ladies and each man finds him and sees what you look like to him, because the more you see what you look like to him, the more you begin to know who you are. And the more you begin to know who you are, the more you become free to him, and the more you become free to worship, the more you lay down all the junk. You know, for so many years, this is the way I've prayed. I've come to the Lord, and there was nothing wrong with this. I would come to the Lord and I say, Lord, forgive me. You saw what I did today. You saw the way I responded to my husband. You saw the way I treated my kids. You saw, right? I would repent. And then I would, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I'd give him, you know, a couple more minutes of my time. And I would meet him like that. But everything began to shift when I began to come before him and say, who are you, Jesus? I just want to see your love. I just want to know who you are. I just want to find you, Jesus. Jesus, you are good. I am your good daughter. I am your daughter. I'm your daughter. I'm your daughter. You're my dad. You're my father. I just want to know you. See, when I begin to behold him and I begin to look at him and not look at all my stuff that needed to get right, all my stuff began to change. All my stuff begins to change. Because we can't clean ourselves up anyway, right? We focus so much on the sin that we don't behold the Savior. But as you see you and you see who he's created you to be, everything changes. And so we just want to open the altar up if that's okay, Pastor Carl, okay, just open the altar up to any lady, any gentleman that wants to come up and get a rose, and me and Christy would love to just pray over you and love on you. So you're welcome to come up. Amen. Don't be shy. If this moved